miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, we're brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and youbeauty.com. Udocs@gmail.com, youdocs @gmail.com is the email address to reach Dr. Mike. 35 minutes after the hour, Louise Firth Campbell. Her book is called The Book of Odds, From Lightning Strikes to Love at First Sight, The Odds of Everyday Life. Our guest at 35 after the hour. Every week on my morning show here in Syracuse, WSYR Radio, Dr. Mike joins me Tuesday mornings. We do a health segment for a couple of minutes, and the topic we talked about earlier this week on my morning show, the title was 10 health trends that are a total waste of time, among them being ear candling, doing a diet, a water diet, oil pulling, swallowing oil for 20 minutes, cupping, putting these heat cups on your back, placenta pills, going gluten-free to lose weight, juicing, cleansing, a waste of time. One of them also was avoiding GMOs. Genetically modified foods, and that is one of the top medical stories of the week. What can you say about that, Dr. Mike?
Well, I'm going to throw it to Bridget to ask her what she knows about GMO foods and why they, quote, confuse consumers.
So GMOs are a hot topic, especially this past week because of Vermont being the first state to sign into legislation a bill them to label GMOs on all of their foods. So the problem is that not found any risks that are associated with GMOs, but a lot of consumers are against them, which is why it's prompting a lot of food companies to label them. But really all they are is food that has been bred to resist pesticides and herbicides. So it's crossbred in the lab, taking basically the best both plants in order to do that. So most of the foods that you'll find them in are corn oil, corn starch, high fructose corn syrup, or soybean oil. And then they're also used very heavily in cattle feed. And so while they're in a lot of foods in the food supply, like I said, there's no research that shows any harms. And so there's a lot of consumers that are against having GMOs in their diet, and they think that it leads them to being healthier, when really it hasn't proven to do much benefit.
So the other issue on this, if you will, is that the genetically modified foods have caused a political fight. So in Europe, you have to label them, and many countries are now banning them, as opposed to, if you will, in the United States, 90% of the corn is GMO and isn't labeled, and obviously almost every packaged food has some corn in it, it turns out. So Vermont is now requiring the labeling of GMO foods, and this is going to be a states' rights versus federal rights as the food industry fights the Vermont issue to a strong degree, Joe.
Are they healthy? Are GMO foods healthy?
We don't know of any risk.
We
don't know of any risk from them. There are many people who try and avoid them, but they're really just when corn was being produced earlier on, it was being produced by what we call Mendelian genetics. You know, you take one strain and mate it with another strain and try and get the stronger or the better properties of both to survive. What GMO has done is it actually does this in a mass production way, and then once they find a corn that is resistant to pesticides or resistant to certain diseases, they then put this corn, let this corn prosper, multiply it, and then the company that sells it, in fact, does this in such a big way as they then make an awful lot of money on it. And in fact, they've even if their corn drifts into someone else's field, that person has to pay Monsanto a royalty. It is part of the craziness. The person who actually engineered this the protection, the patent protection, is Judge Thomas of the Supreme Court, as he was a Monsanto lawyer, and got Monsanto all this protection, and even on the court hasn't recused himself since he no longer has affiliation, but has supported his own positions back when he was doing the work in Monsanto, something that a lot of people have taken to criticizing him for.
Yeah. And that article we talked about, I referenced the article when we started this discussion on this particular topic today, the health trends that are a waste of time. I don't want to get into all of them, but the one about gluten-free always interests me. And one of the trends they thought was a total waste of time was, doing gluten-free, going gluten-free to lose weight. Can you just talk about that? Do you think that's true or not?
Well, I'm going to combine it with that other story on weight gain fears keep smokers from quitting, since they're both about weight loss. 53% of smokers who don't quit say the reason they don't quit is, in fact, they gained weight during previous quit attempts. So I should tell you that we've now had something over 2,000 people quit smoking on our e-coaching program, EnforcerEcoaching.com. There is a charge for it. But with that, it starts out with stepping as well as daily emailing of your steps to us and us responding, coaching daily. Those people who do that, the average weight loss for women is about 2 pounds. The average weight gain for men is a pound over the period while they've quit smoking plus 7 months. So it's not very much. But in this study, the weight gain was on average for the people who didn't want to try it. And that may be they tried it in the wrong way. They didn't use something like our program was 8 to 14 pounds. Well, you don't have to gain that at all, as our 2,000 people who've done the Enforcer e-coaching program says. Now, none of those went on a gluten-free diet, but you can go on a gluten-free diet. Gluten-free means that you're avoiding all products such as oat and wheat that have gluten in it. The value of that diet isn't that that there's something in gluten that makes you gain weight faster. The value of that diet is that by avoiding a large class of foods, if you can't eat wheat or oats or a whole bunch of other things like that, you will end up cutting out an awful lot of carbohydrate, and in doing so, you will, I think, lose weight that way. So the diet works, but not because of that reason. And if you eat just the same amount of calories of different sorts on the gluten-free diet as you did when you were eating gluten, then you won't lose any weight.
While we're on the subject of nutrition, what about calories? Are all calories equal?
Well, that's another interesting study this week, where, in fact, the calories that provide sugar or sweetness seem to induce you to eat more calories. So while all calories are created equal, some have more ability to satiate you or mean that you won't be hungry than others. And so the issue here is, are you, in fact, getting too many calories because you're eating food with sugar or simple carbohydrates or added syrups that turn into sugar fast enough to make you want to eat more and aren't as satiating as protein or fat is as a food?
Well, is exercise the best way to burn calories?
Well, when you decide that you want to lose weight, I don't know of any diet that works that doesn't include a buddy, that is someone to support you and encourage you, that doesn't include increased physical activity and decreased portion size and calories in. So the buddy provides stress, because a lot of us eat comfort foods from stress reasons. And then the other things are to decrease your sugar intake and to increase your calorie output. I think you need all three, and it works very well when you do all three, Joe.
Louise Firth Campbell, the co-author of the Book of Odds, next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.